It's very nice to be back. Association of all the wonderful devotees, especially my very dear God brothers and God sisters. So this evening we'll read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 14. Let's go ahead and start with text number 1.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya
Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta
Vrinda Jaya Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
How many of you Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis own a cell phone? Raise your hand if you own a cell phone. How many of you have it here? Okay, take it out. This is inspection time. We ask that you turn all cell phones and all babies off. Seriously. Okay. So we're reading from text number 1. Accompanied by his personal devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the festival known as Lakshmi Vijayotshava. There he discussed the super excellent love of the gopis. Just by hearing about them, he became very pleased and danced in great ecstatic love for the Lord. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, known as Gaurachandra. All glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Dvaitacharya, who is so exalted. All glories to all the devotees headed by Srivas Thakura. All glories to the readers who have taken Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as their life and soul. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was resting in ecstatic love, Maharaj Pataparuja entered the garden. Following Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's instructions, the king had given up his royal dress. He now entered the garden in the dress of a Vaishnava. Maharaj Pataparuja was so humble that with folded hands, he first took permission from all the devotees. Then with great courage, he fell down and touched the lotus feet of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lying on the ground with his eyes closed in ecstatic love and emotion, and the king very expertly began to massage his legs. The king began to recite verses about the Rasalila from Srimad Bhagavatam. He recited the chapter beginning with the words, Jayati Te Dikam. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these verses, he was pleased beyond limits, and he said again and again, go on reciting, go on reciting. As soon as the king recited the verse beginning with the words, Tavakatamritam, the Lord immediately arose in ecstatic love and embraced him. Upon hearing the verses recited by the king, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you have given me invaluable gems, but I have nothing to give you in return. Therefore, I am simply embracing you. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to recite the same verse again and again. Both the king and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were trembling. The tears were flowing from their eyes. My Lord, the nectar of your words and descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those who are always aggrieved in this material world. These narrations are transmitted by exalted personalities, and they eradicate all sinful reactions. Whoever hears these narrations attains all good fortune. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Those who spread the message of Godhead are certainly the most munificent welfare workers. After hearing the recitation of this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced the reciter, King Pataparudra, and cried, you are the most munificent, you are the most munificent. At this point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not even know who the king was. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy was aroused because of the king's previous service. Therefore, without even asking who he was, the Lord immediately bestowed His mercy upon him. How powerful is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu! Without even inquiring about the king, the Lord made everything successful. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is so powerful that it acts automatically. If a person renders loving service to Krishna, it never goes in vain. It is recorded in a spiritual account, and in due time it will actually fructify. This is confirmed by Bhagavad Gita. Svalpam asya dharmasya tayate mahato bayat. In this endeavor there is no loss of ammunition, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has particularly bestowed upon all fallen souls in this age the most potent method of devotional service, and whoever takes it, through the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is immediately elevated to the transcendental position. Srimad Bhagavatam recommends, Yagnai Sankirtan Prayar Ijantihi Shu Medashaha. A student of Krishna consciousness must receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, then his devotional service will quickly succeed. This was the case with King Pataparudra. One has to be noticed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and a little service with sincere efforts will convince the Lord that one is a proper candidate for returning home back to Godhead. Maharaj Pataparudra did not have a chance to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but when the Lord saw that the king was serving Lord Jagannath as a menial sweeper, the Lord's mercy upon the king became a solid fact. When Maharaj Pataparudra addressed a Vaishnava was serving the Lord did not even inquire who he was. Rather, he had compassion upon him and began to embrace him. Kaviraj Goswami wants to point out that nothing could compare to the Lord's mercy towards Maharaj Pataparudra. Therefore, he uses the word Deka, just see, and Chaitanyara Kripa Mahabala. How powerful is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is also confirmed by Prabodhananda Saraswati. Yat Kudunya Kataksha Vaibhavatam, Chaitanya Kandamrita 5. Even a little of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy serves as a great asset for spiritual advancement. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement must be spread through the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Rupa Goswami experienced the mercy and the magnanimity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He personally said, Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namre Gaurakasena. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than any other avatar, even Krishna himself, because he is freely bestowing what no one else has ever given, pure love of Krishna. Srila Lochan Das Thakur has also sung Parama Kuruna Pahundui Jana Nitai Gora Chandra. The two brothers, Nitai and Gore, are so kind that no one can compare to them. Similarly, Sri Narottam Das Thakur has sung Brajendra Nandana Ye Sati Suto Hoilo Se Balaram Hoilo Nitai Dinahina Yatuchila Harinama Udharila Tara Shakshi Jaghai Madhai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mission is the deliverance of all fallen souls in Kali Yuga. Devotees of Krishna must persistently seek the favor and mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to become fit to return home back to Godhead. Om Agyan Timurandasya Ginangina Shalakaya Chaksurimiritam Janatas Mayasi Vivena Maha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Shwayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadantu Shvapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasarikyora Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Shram Om Falam Tataka Hadrikakesha It's a very wonderful pastime of the deliverance of the king, Maharaj Pataparudra. Maharaj Bhatrapudra was a king, and therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was a very strict sannyasi, would not associate with him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict. It's said that even his female disciples could not pay obeisances to him. In the near vicinity, they had to pay obeisances something like 100 meters away. He would not even hear the singing of a lady. There in strict Vedic culture, sannyasi was forbidden to hear the Machaji's singing. We hear in Chaitanya Charitamrita how one time there was a lady singing somewhere near the region of the Jagannath temple. And because she was singing with such bhav, such devotion, Mahaprabhu was attracted. He began to run towards that place. And one of his servants, Govinda, could understand actually what was taking place. So he ran, I don't want to say tackled, but he stopped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from going any further and said, "This is the voice of one Mataji." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped and he thanked Govinda. He said, "You have saved my life." So he was so strict, setting the example for those in the announcement of life. Krishna, when he comes from the spiritual world, he appears in different ashramas. One time he appeared as Nara Narayan Rishi, Brahmacharya, and showed the perfect example for those who are students in the Krishna consciousness. He also appeared as Grihastra. Raghupati Radhavarajaram Patita Pahana Sitaram. Sitaram, the ideal couple. Here he's appearing as a sannyasi for his mission. He took sannyas because he was a teacher in one tola, but his students were a little familiar with him and they were upset with him and sometimes criticizing. Is very dangerous. To criticize God knowingly or unknowingly is suicidal. So he decided that for the benefit of the entire humanity, he would accept the renounced order of life because then his preaching would be more effective. Because Prabhupada says Vedic culture is so nice that people generally offer respect to a sannyasi for his renounced position. He's naturally the spiritual master of society. So by taking that position, people would hear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, he's more than any sannyasi. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And his intimate associates, his intimate devotees, were very upset when he took sannyas. Because sannyas is the complete opposite of the spectrum of Bhagavan. Bhagavan means the supreme enjoyer, the enjoyer of all opulences, and that is Krishna. Everything and everyone is created to give pleasure to Krishna. He's the Purusha and everything else is Prakriti, feminine. He's the male and everything else is feminine, even you and me. We're all feminine in respect to the Lord. So He is the supreme enjoyer and our happiness comes from serving Krishna as the supreme master, as the supreme enjoyer. So when the supreme enjoyer decided that he would shave off his beautiful black locks of hair, and he would accept the loincloth of a sannyasi, leave home, give up the most beautiful wife in the universe, sleep on the hard floor, eat the roots and berries in the forest. They were devastated. "That is not your position, my lord. You are the supreme enjoyer. Please don't do this. It's giving such pain to our hearts to see you living as a sannyasi. Conditioned souls must learn to renounce this world. That is their business." As King Dasharath asked Vishwamitra Muni, who as a sadhu came to his palace to preach a little bit, the king received him, "My dear sage, how is your business? How is the business going to conquer over the repetition of birth and death? Are you making progress in conquering over birth, death, old age and disease, renouncing this dukkalayam ashashvatam, this miserable world? This is the business of human life. Not to become attached to it, because attachment ultimately means suffering, because as attached to it as you are, when you lose it, to that degree you will also suffer." Anything in this world you're going to lose. In 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 2 years, 10 years, at the end of death, everything that you've attained, you're going to have to give up. So to the degree that you're attached to it, when you lose it, you're going to suffer. So better not become too attached. We're just Atma in transit. We're just transiting through, just like you transit through the airport on your way to a higher destination. We're Atma in transit. We're transiting through this world, back to the spiritual world, and we shouldn't become too attached. If we do become attached, we should become attached to using it in Krishna's service. That's okay. That's yukta vairagya. But when the Supreme Enjoyer took sannyas, it was very painful for everyone. Very, very painful. But he did it for the higher purpose. Because being in that position, people would listen and accept his message as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's the perfect sannyasi. And sannyasis are forbidden to have undue association. We can have as much association as we want. Heaps of it, as they say in Australia. Heaps. Ginormous, they say. We say gigantic and enormous. They say ginormous in Australia. It's upside down, so things get a little bit... Sadhusanga, sadhusanga, sadhushastukhoi, lavamatra, sadhusanga, sadhusidihoi. That type of association with saintly persons like all of you good people, that we can't get enough of. But association with materialistically minded men and women, we should avoid very strictly. It doesn't mean just to go out on the street and, you know, shake their hands. More important, it means to hear their intimate feelings from the heart, which they express in their music, in their theater performances, in their soap operas, in their news broadcasts, and on their internet. Did you catch that? That's a pun. Not internet, internet. Unless you're surfing the web, if you're surfing Krishna.com, that's okay. Otherwise, very danger. So we say in Hindi. Nowadays in India, they're mixing the words so much. So there was one snake and one man said, very danger, Maharaj, very danger. Didn't speak a word of English, very danger. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the best example of a devotee, he would not associate with the king, because the king, by nature, is in the mode of passion. He has to rule his kingdom, he has to take care of the miscreants, he has to give benedictions to those, he has to give rewards, he has to rule over and law, make laws and judgments, he has to sometimes go to war. This is all very passionate. Prabhupada said, you'll never see a picture of Arjuna on the battlefield with a bead bag. He's always fighting with his sword, that's gata, whatever. So, of course, he was a pure devotee also. But kings in particular, Chanakya Pandit says, never trust a materialistic lady or a politician. Politicians, really danger. So he would avoid him. But Maharaj Parataparudra was actually a very great devotee. He was a very, very great devotee. But Mahaprabhu, as an example, refused to see him. So Maharaj Pachaparudra appealed to all the devotees, please somehow grant me darshan with the Lord. So the devotees devised, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya devised this plan whereby during, or maybe perhaps just after the Rath Yatra ceremony, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was chanting and dancing in great ecstasy in the Rath Yatra parade, he went for a little break. Prabhupada would call it a snap. We call it a nap. You have sleep and you have nap. Nap means in the afternoon. You take 20 minutes and you take a nap. When you take 5 minutes, Prabhupada coined the phrase snap. He used to tell his servant, I'm going to take a snap. Anyway, so Lord Chaitanya was taking a little rest in this beautiful garden just off the route of the Rath Yatra cart. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told the king to take off his royal dress and put on the dress of a Vaishnava. Kurta and actually dhoti and the top piece, the wrapper. Because they don't wear the kurta so much in Jagannath Puri. very hot there. So he put on the dress of a Vaishnava, put on the tilak, took off his royal clothes, and he went into the garden. And he revealed his own heart as a Vaishnava, because spontaneously he began to sing very beautiful verses from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, delineating the Lord's loving pastimes with the residents of Vrindavan. He was a king, but it is said that we can understand the heart of someone when they speak. One can be this or that, but actually his level of advancement, Prabhupada said, is revealed when he begins talking, if he's a fool or not. So, Maharaj Purutra, Pratya Purutra, was actually a very great devotee because he was associating with devotees like Ramananda Roy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Swarup Damodar Goswami, all these great devotees who were assisting the Lord in his pastimes in Jagannath Puri. And why had the Lord retired to Jagannath Puri? He performed his Adi Lila, his birth pastimes and his childhood pastimes in Navadvip. Then much of his Madhya Lila is traveling around India, visiting different holy places, and converting so many different sects to Gaudiya Vaishnavism by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
By the time his travels of South India had finished, that was the end of Madhya Lila for all practical purposes, and he's just now retiring to Jagannath Puri. Most of Anjali is Jagannath Puri, to serve the purpose of his internal reasons in coming to this world. We know from studying Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Chaitanya had two reasons coming. He was the Yuga Avatar. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 bhaktiranyatha. He came to introduce the Yuga Dharma, chanting Hare Krishna, but his internal reasons was that Krishna wanted to understand the loving mood of Srimati Radharani. That he could not understand. Although he's God, he knows everything. Because he was the object of that love, he couldn't fathom the feelings of Srimati Radharani, who has the Mahabhava, who has the greatest love. So he wanted to, as a devotee in the mood of her, to experience her love for him, for Krishna. So that he did in Jagannath Puri. What is the nature of that love? Generally, Srimati Radharani, she lives in separation from Krishna because Krishna left Vrindavan to go fight Kamsa in Mathura. Then he went to build a fort in Dwarka to protect his devotees. And although he told those young girls of Vrindavan, the gopis, he'd be right back in a few moments, he didn't come back. He broke their hearts. So those devotees had to live in separation from Krishna. That's called Vipralamba Bhava. But according to our acharyas, that brings forth the highest sentiments of love for God. Because separation makes the heart grow fonder. And that principle is absolutely true in spiritual life. So the gopis felt the highest sentiments of love. And the greatest of all the gopis is Srimati Radharani. She's anapayini. She's never separated from Krishna in her heart. So that love is very special. So Krishna wanted to experience that. So he appeared in Jagannath. He concluded his pastimes in Jagannath Puri. And his devotees used to help him experience those transcendental emotions by reciting verses from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Swarup Damodar Goswami, he was particularly expert. He was a very excellent devotee, of course, because he was an incarnation of Lalita Devi, who was the guru of all the gopis. So he or she knows all these things very well. So to bring forth those ecstatic emotions of love of God in the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar Goswami was also a very expert kirtan man. He would sing these verses, appropriate verses, to bring forth different emotions in Chaitanya. So, also, it appears that due to that type of association, Maharaj Bhattaparudra, he also knew the science. It doesn't matter whatever ashram or varna one is, everyone can become a devotee of Krishna. Giva vipa ghibiniyase sudukena naya. It's said in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Whether one is a Tyagi, living in the forest, or whether one is a Grihastha, living at home. Narottam Das Thakur says, if that devotee loves Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and is serving his mission, he says, I want the dust of that devotee's feet on my head. I don't care if he's a Tyagi, a renunciate, or he's a householder living in a big mansion. If within his heart is a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, give me his association. So, although Maharaj Pachapuru was a king, really he was a devotee. Just his occupation was the king, but his heart of hearts was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he knew the verses. We should also know the verses, because we're also meant to come to that stage of Krishna consciousness. Of course, we can't jump over, we can't pretend, but we can learn about it as an appetizer, hear these pastimes, hear these verses, and know what the goal of life is, ecstatic love for God. So he sang these verses in the garden, in the dress of a Vaishnava, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he heard these verses, and he became very excited. He decided, yes, I will give my mercy to this Vaishnava. And finally, after a long time, he embraced Maharaj Bhaktapuruga. So of course Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew who he was. He's God. God is omniscient. He's in the heart of every living entity. It's not that you put on some disguise or some dress and you can fool God. God knows your every thought. So he knew the heart of Maharaj Bhaktapuruga, and therefore he embraced him. And Prabhupada points out that Maharaj Pachapuruta was qualified to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for what reason? Because he expressed his love in the form of service. If you really love somebody, you want to serve them. It's not a static relationship. Love is reciprocal. So the way that we show our love to someone is we serve them. That's why this process is called devotional service. We have to do something for Krishna. Just like in the material world, if you have a girlfriend, you tell her that you love her. She says, well, then prove it. So we have to prove our love for Krishna by rendering some service to please him. And Prabhupada said one time, Krishna is so kind that if you take one step towards him, he'll take 1,000 steps towards you. So even a little service performed sincerely can attract the attention of God. That's the nature of devotion or love. Whereas the yogis, they have to wait hundreds or thousands of lifetimes to get the results of all their penances and their austerities and the study of the shastras and so forth. The devotee, he can attract the attention of the Lord instantaneously just by rendering a little menial service. You don't have to do something great. You just have to realize your infinitesimal nature as a spirit soul, as a humble servant of the Lord, and do something humble for the Lord in a sincere way. What did this great king do who's ruling over thousands of subjects and has millions of diamonds and rubies in his treasury and is famous and so forth? What did he do? He took a broom and he swept the street in front of the cart of Varun Jagannath. He became street sweeper. We sometimes are called bungees. They clean the street, they clean the sewers in India. Bungees, it's not considered the highest position. But he took the position of a street sweeper for the pleasure of the Lord. And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed and gave him his mercy later on by embracing him in the gardens along the path of the Rath Yatra festival. So in that regard, Prabhupada quotes Rupa Goswami, Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Mahamigo Vasudeva. That there's many incarnations. Ate cham sa kolo pumsha. There's many incarnations. But of all the incarnations, this incarnation has appeared in this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the most merciful. He's the most merciful. You compare the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the mercy of all the other avatars, and he comes up with flying colors. I remember one time, Sri Prahlad Prabhu and I were traveling in South India, and we went to, I believe we were in Sri Rangam, seeing the Ranganath deity, and we met a Rambhakta. There's many Rambhakta. Raghupati Raghavarazaram Adita Pavan Sitanam. Very popular. They're also Vaishnavas because Ram is Vishnu. He's an expansion of Vishnu. And those pastimes are very close to Krishna's pastimes. Of course, they're das in the mood of dasya. They're Aishwarya Bhadra in the Vaikuntha world. But they're very sweet, very loving pastimes. And Prahlad, Sri Prahlad, he really liked those pastimes, I remember, because it wasn't just the militaristic aspects like most boys, you know, we're going to kill Ravana and burn him, you know. But he was attracted to the loving sentiments of Ram and Sita and the different devotees, very sweet transcendental love. So we met this Ram Bhakta and we paid our obeisances to him. He was sitting there chanting. And when he saw us, he was very surprised. He said, oh, you are Westerners. What country have you come from? I said, oh, I'm from America. And Prahlad said he was from New Zealand. He said, oh, you're Westerners, but you appear to be Krishna Bhaktis, your tilak reveals you as Gaudiyas. He said, why are you Krishna Bhaktis? You're Krishna, he favors mostly cows and Brahmins. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, Jagaditaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. He favors cows and he favors Brahmanas. How is he favoring these Western boys and girls? I don't understand. He said, but my Ram, he's so merciful because he accepted even monkeys and bears. So it would be better if you become Ram Bhaktas. You have a better chance because you Westerners, you're like the monkeys and the bears. So better you become Ram Bhaktas. And then he said, and my Ram, he accepted those monkeys and bears in his own army. And he marched on Lanka. Across the ocean, they built the bridge with stones to Lanka, and they fought with that great ten-headed Asura, Ravana. As he was speaking, he was getting all excited and just relating the pastime and practically coming to tears. Like, well, this is a very nice devotee. Just relating the pastime, he's becoming so excited. So then Prahlad, in a very humble way, he said, yes, but Lord Ramachandra accepted monkeys and bears, but they had to fight in the army when they went to Lanka. He said, our Krishna, after milking cows, he gives butter to the monkeys. You're wrong, he engages the monkeys in warfare. Our Krishna, he just takes butter and he gives it to the monkeys in Vrindavan. So the Ram Bhakta, he was speechless. Who's more merciful? Our Krishna or your Ram? Your Ram's taking the monkeys and bears, he's sending them off to war. Like the young boys in America had to go to Vietnam, they have to go to Iraq. But our Krishna, he gives butter to the monkeys. And then he said, some of our acharyas say that he even did this to repay the monkeys for all their hard work as warriors in the army of Ram. So who's more merciful? Then he really dug in. He said, Ramachandra, he refused the advances of Supranaka and even cut off her nose. Is that right? And then Ram Bhakta went, yes. She came as witch. And she wanted to kill Sita and take Ram away. That's Supranaka. So then Ram arranged for Lakshman to cut off her nose. Disfigure her. Yes. Then Prahlad said, yes, but in Krishna Leela, Supranaka appeared again as Kubja. And what did Krishna do to Kubja? Did he cut off her nose? No. He very kindly straightened her out. Yeah, she was a hunchback, a prostitute. He straightened her out and made her a very beautiful lady, and what's more, accepted her as his devotee. So who's more kind? Who's more merciful? Krishna or Ram? But Ram Bhakta was getting all perplexed. He said, what's more, whereas Ram disfigured a witch, Krishna likes to deliver witches. He disfigured Supranak, but in his Krishna Leela as a baby, when a witch came, a very horrible witch, Putana, when Putana came as a witch to kill Krishna, she took baby Krishna on her lap and gave her breast to suckle. Krishna sucked out the milk and her life there as well, but in doing so, she got liberation. She got more than liberation. Generally, the demons, when they're killed, they emerge into the Brahmajyoti if they're fortunate, and Krishna kills them. But in that particular case, when Krishna killed Putana, she became a gopi in Goloka Vrindavan, beyond even Vaikuntha. She's one of the nurses of Krishna in the spiritual sky. So I said, who's more merciful? So this Brahm Bhakta is squirming. And then Prahlad, who was quite well versed, he said, and whereas Ram accepted only one wife and then rejected her when she came back after being with Ravana, Hare Krishna accepted 16,108 princesses who had been kidnapped by Bhamasura. That's how merciful Hare Krishna is. So who's more merciful? That's why we've taken shelter in Ishkan. So that Ram Bhakta, he was like, But Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram Raghupati Raghava. He danced off. Raghava. Oh, I said to Prahlad, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. In a transcendental way. That's usually, we use that in a material way. When someone's devotion is ultimately manifest, everyone has a surup, an eternal relationship, nothing can shake it. And he doesn't think, oh, I'm unfortunate because I'm a coward boy and she's a gopi. No, the nature of that devotion is everyone is satisfied. And Krishna is satisfied also with the devotion of every single devotee. He doesn't think one is better than the other. One time in Paris, Prabhupada said, if you think that the love of Radharani, if you think that Krishna sees the love of Radharani as superior to the love of Yasoda, then you're an aparadi, you're an offender. No, Krishna accepts the loving sentiments. Variety is the spice of life. Although we do say the gopis have the highest love, as far as Krishna is concerned, he loves all of his devotees, just like a father. He loves all of his children. One may be beautiful, one may not be so beautiful, one may be intelligent, one may be less intelligent, one may be healthy, one may be crippled. The nature of love, love knows no bounds. He loves. So the transcendental love, Krishna loves. So when one attains this exalted stage of Krishna prema, then there's different relationships, different rasas with Krishna. One can be servant, one can be friend, one can be parent, one can be lover, etc. So this Ram Bhakta, he couldn't be, in the discussion, maybe we had quote-unquote defeated him, although that wasn't our purpose. He walked away happy as a lark. Just like Rupa and Sanatana had a younger brother who's not so prominent in Chaitanya's pastimes because he died early in the Leelas, Anupam. Anupam was a Ram Bhakta. And Rupa and Sanatana tried to convince him to become a Chaitanya Bhakta or a Krishna Bhakta. He just couldn't do it. And Murari Gupta, he was also a Ram Bhakta. And the devotees tried, but Mahaprabhu said, no, it's very nice, you stay like that, because that is pure devotion. So that Ram Bhakta went away completely satisfied. So then later on, Shri Prahlad and I were discussing this verse. Namo Mahabhananaya Krishna Prem Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Bhurvase Namaha. As merciful as Krishna is, and I'm speaking today because Ram Navami is coming on Monday, so you can't speak like this on Monday because you have to speak in a different way. But, you know, devotees are very, they have their Ishtadevas, so, you know, as merciful as Krishna is, more merciful than other incarnations, Krishna. Rupa Goswami revealed that Lord Chaitanya is even more merciful than Krishna. How is that possible? We just heard how merciful Krishna is. He accepted all those princesses who have been kidnapped by Nasura, Banasura. When a girl leaves home and associates with a man and not married with that man, she's considered fallen. So the poor girls were kidnapped and embraced by this demon, Banasura. But Krishna, because they were his devotees, he accepted still 16,108 girls and he made them all princesses in Dwarka. That's how kind Krishna is. He's very kind. But it appears that this incarnation, who just appeared 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya, he's even kinder than Krishna. That's what Rupa Goswami pointed out. How is that possible? How is Lord Chaitanya more merciful than Krishna himself? Because Krishna, although he's merciful, he's sometimes partial. Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshas dinapriya. He says, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I'm equal to all. But whoever renders service to me as a friend is in me, and I am a friend to him. In other words, if you show some devotion out of the multitudes of masses of people, that someone wakes up and understands the purpose of life and turns around and serves Krishna, he becomes partial. He becomes partial to his devotees. You can't blame him. That's the nature of love. He's partial to his devotees. He incarnated as one incarnation just to save one devotee. Usually the Lord comes, Paritranaya Sarunam Vinashaya Tuduskritam, to save his devotees, to annihilate the miscreants, to reestablish the principles of religion. But Lord Nrisingadev came to deliver one devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. So he can be very partial to his devotees. Krishna says, all of them, if they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. I don't reward them equally. As they surrender, I reward. If you offer full surrender to Krishna, he gives his very self to you. So he's a little partial sometimes. He's a little bit partial. Even with his devotees, he's partial, because he says, sarva dharmam paricharya mame kam saranam braja aham tam sarva papebhyo moksisi master jahar. Just surrender him to me, then I will protect you from all sinful reactions. But first you have to surrender. There's some condition there. But Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada said, he's not partial at all. He is very liberal with his devotees. First of all, he makes no distinction. Who's qualified? Who's unqualified? He makes no distinction. His mercy is there for everyone. Just like the sunshine. The sun is not partial. It just spreads its rays everywhere. You're unfortunate if you go in the shade and you avoid the sunshine. But as far as the sun is concerned, it's giving its mercy. Lord Chaitanya is giving his mercy to everyone. Someone may try to hide from the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, may not get that mercy, but he makes no distinction. He's not partial. When he went out with his Harinam party in the early mornings, he was chanting for the kings, the queens, the royalty. He was chanting also for the normal people. He was also chanting for the fallen people. Otherwise, how is it that Jagai Mata got delivered? In other incarnations, it would have been very difficult for such persons to be delivered. But if he is to be considered partial, you could say he's partial to the most fallen. That's his glory. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur said, because you're Patita Pavana Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, deliver the most fallen, then I stake my claim first. I'm the most fallen, so please deliver me. Even if someone tries to escape the network of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, it's very difficult. Kaviraj Goswami describes in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that he created a network which it was very difficult for anyone to escape from. And he gave examples of persons who tried to escape the mercy of God, like Mayavadis, atheists, scientists, and he said students. Students are sometimes quite rebellious. And we were the other day, we were at the University of Florida in Gainesville, and we went there and we had a program, and the devotees were very mercifully distributing prasadam, which attracted 1,000. It has been attracting 1,000 people a day, 1,000 students a day, for 30 years. So I went out there and we had kirtan. We were leading kirtan. We were singing. It was a big crowd of people eating. And that we were singing, and then I thought, well, I'll give a lecture. And Kalikanda said, don't even bother. They won't listen. They're not at all interested. I said, no, I'll tell some nice stories. So I stopped at kirtan, and then I started preaching, and I told some nice, funny story. And, I came to the end of the story, the final line. And I told the final line, and nobody laughed. So they call it the punchline. And I looked out, and all the students were just eating. No one was listening to a word I was saying. And I said, Hare Krishna! Boom, No one was listening. So, of course, there amongst those students, there's always some who come forward, because after so many years of eating prasadam, something has to happen. And they're polite and they're respectful to the devotee. But as far as Krishna consciousness is concerned, they're only interested in, I guess, somewhat their studies, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Because, you know, it wasn't a bad lecture. I mean, the devotees applauded. The devotees thought it was fun. It's kind of a delayed reaction, you know, but I get to the punchline, and every time I tell a story, everybody laughs. And I, da 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 da. You know, so therefore, he includes students. It's interesting. Includes students. No one can escape the network. But for the students, there's a secret weapon. Krishna Varnam Prashad Krishnam Shanga Panga Shaparshadam Yagnai Sankirtan Prayarajam Dihishu Menashaha is astras, the weapons that Mahaprabhu employs, because in past ages he had his gada and his sword and his knife and whatever, violent. But Mahaprabhu doesn't do that in this age. In this age, he destroys the demoniac mentality with the astra of the holy names. But if people are not interested in chanting Hare Krishna, they're so foolish, they don't want to chant Hare Krishna, there's prasad. And prasad has a miraculous effect. We hear how Narada Muni, when Narada Muni took prasadam, he was just a boy brought to a Sudrani, and a woman who was acting as like a maid in a cottage somewhere. He wasn't, it's described that he wasn't particularly interested in spiritual life. But by taking a little drop of prasadam from the hands of a Vaishnava, he says, the very nature of the transcendentalist became attractive to him. So this is the nature of Sri Sri Bhagavat prasadam. Therefore, in the Uddhavashta compares, Vishnu Takamani Thakur glorifies how the spiritual master is very happy when he sees his devotees taking Bhagavad Prasadam. I remember one time I was asked to take an article back to Prabhupada's room, which he left on the lawn after darshan. And I took it up to the room, and Prabhupada was in the room alone. And we had devotees from all over Europe visiting our French chateau, La Nouvelle Mayapur, because of Prabhupada's visit there. And after Prabhupada's lecture, everyone went to the back of the castle to take prasadam. There were hundreds and hundreds, and this was 600-700 devotees taking prasadam there. And Prabhupada went up to his quarters privately. And I walked in, and as I walked in, Prabhupada was standing at the window, which was, he could see all the devotees taking prasadam, and he wasn't moving. And then I walked in, and Prabhupada turned around, and I saw Prabhupada was crying. There were tears coming down his face. He said to me, let them all take Bhagavad Prasad. He said, have the devotees take prasadam. And he employed that weapon effectively on many occasions. I know in Australia, when Prabhupada first went to Australia, it was very difficult to preach down there. Practically the devotees weren't doing books, because the Australian people were just so rough and tough and tumble in those days. Australia was like... Things have changed a lot, of course. But Prabhupada tried to preach in some universities. The devotees set programs up, but then, you know, the students would yell at him and scream and this and that. He could hardly give a lecture anywhere except in the temple. So at one time, the devotees were driving out after the lecture, and the students climbed some little bridge overlooking the overpass, and they dumped paint on the devotees' cars. When Prabhupada heard that, he said, meatheads. So they cannot understand this philosophy. Just give them prasad. So that became the means of preaching in Australia for many, many years. And as such, the devotees developed a network of very successful restaurants. And again, Australia has changed now. It's all, the whole world's changed, like one world culture. As you travel around the world, it's all American culture everywhere. All the countries have lost their distinctive features and their cultures. It's all like, you know, American business everywhere you go. So Australia's changed a lot, you know. But the devotees' restaurants, which they started in Prabhupada's instructions, they received from 600 to 800 people every day. Brisbane, Melbourne, to some degree Sydney, Adelaide, Perth, these places. And as a result, now book distribution is very easy in Australia. Prabhupada did the formula. It's very easy. Now people have become purified by the mass distribution of so much prasadam. And the effect is that the intelligence is awoken, the hearts have been purified so they can hear it. The philosophy they can chant. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So this is the great mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that even the most fallen can advance in Krishna consciousness, and can advance to what? The highest stage of Krishna consciousness. You can go back home, back to Godhead, you can go back to Goloka Vrindavan. So this was the stress of this purport and the deliverance of Maharaj Bhattaparuja, who did a little bit of service and in return the Lord embraced him, Prabhupada Kosrupa Goswami, that Mahaprabhu is the most merciful of all incarnations, so let us take advantage of the mercy. This is a golden age within a golden age. Let us take advantage of that mercy and quickly advance and go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much.
How does the mercy of Lord Nityananda compare to the
mercy of Lord Chaitanya? Lord generally, he was engaged in discussing with personalities like Prakashananda Saraswati. He delivered the Mayavadis in Benares. He discussed philosophy a lot with the higher echelon of society. He delivered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was actually, well, first of all, Prakashananda Saraswati was the leader of the Mayavadis in India. And their seat, their capital, was Benares. You know, we have our capital, Vrindavan and Mayapur. But the Mayavadis, they go to Rishikesh, they go to Haridwar, and especially they go to Kashi, or modern-day Benares. And when he was passing through there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke with them and had a long philosophical debate with them and convinced them, and they all surrendered. Although today, if you go to Benares and you look at the historical records, there's no record of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivering a Prakashananda Saraswati and his followers, because I think it was just too hard for them to accept and make it as a historical fact. But it is a fact that all of the followers of Prakashananda Saraswati became Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And that took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Prakashananda Saraswati was extremely brilliant. Prabhupada even says that if a Mahabhagavata, a very advanced devotee, hears a serious presentation of Mayavad philosophy, there's a chance that they fall down. It's so dangerous. I mean, they present it very logically. Of course, it's not logical, you know, but it's presented in such a way, so attractive. Tattvamasi, thou art that. I went to at the Kumbh Mela, some, whatever it was, 12, 14 years ago. I was just walking around. Out of curiosity, I walked into the tent of one of the main moths of the Shankaracharya people, Shankarites. And there was Shankaracharya, the leader, I guess, the present-day leader of that monastic philosophy, he was giving a lecture. He was very thin, and he had, you know, his hair tied like that on top, and, you know, he had the Rudraksha beads, the lions like this. He looked very far out, very amazing, you know. And he was just like glowing. He was so much tejas, so much spiritual power. And he was speaking about Krishna, about Bal Krishna, about baby Krishna. And he knew, it's like he knew all the verses of that part of the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, where Krishna's playing in the courtyard, and then he grows up a little bit, and he starts to sport with his boyfriends, and then this and that, and they're taking the cows, and sporting and throwing their lunch, having their lunches, and you know, and he was like, wow. And I was thinking, wait a minute, what's going on here? He's speaking really nicely about Krishna. Then at the end he said, so, in conclusion, Tattvamasmi, thou art that Balagopal. Hare Krishna! Whoa! So poisonous. So they're quite often very erudite, very scholarly, and again, of course, someone like Prabhupada or many of our devotees, Dutta Karma, he's Jayadvaita Swami, these type of scholars in ISKCON, they're also undefeatable in the face of the opposition. But it's very dangerous. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was delivering, you know, the upper crust. He delivered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Who was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? He was the greatest logician of the time in India. And he was living in Puri. He was the main pundit in the court of the king there. And he was a logician. And it took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to deliver him. It took 7 days. Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was espousing, you know, Vedanta philosophy, but with an impersonal tinge. So Mahaprabhu listened, and then, because he was trying to, he thought Mahaprabhu was just a young sannyasi who needed some help, so he was preaching to him, and then he said, "So, are you understanding what I'm saying? Do you understand Vedanta?" Mahaprabhu replied after a long time, "I understand Vedanta, but not the way you're preaching it. So you think you can do better?" "Yes." So Mahaprabhu spoke, he's God, speaking the absolute truth. So he delivered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling. He also discussed with the Madhvas when he went through South India, Udupi. Very intelligent. They're like our god brothers, but there's a little different twist in the philosophy. We won't go into it now, but goal is the same, Krishna consciousness, but a little bit different approach. So he preached to them and delivered many of them as well. But the mass of people, he employed his commander-in-chief. Like you have an army and you have your best fighter as your commander-in-chief. For the masses and for the lowborn, that was Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda went out. He didn't do much preaching, although he's Balaram. He can preach just as good as Krishna, because there's no difference between Krishna and Balaram, except that Krishna's black and Balaram is white. And Balaram's the first expansion. But anyway, Lord Nityananda's business wasn't preaching, because as Jesus said, don't throw your pearls before swine. And in the 10 offenses to the holy name, it's an offense to preach the glories of Krishna consciousness to the faithless. It doesn't mean you don't preach to them, but don't preach the 10th canto. Or don't preach too much philosophy, it'll go over their heads. Their intelligence has been diminished by their sinful activities. So you just give them Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
But even that's not easy. You know, when we go out and we do Harinam, it's not everyone joins the kirtan party. When I first went to Poland, everyone did join that kirtan party. People, hundreds of people would follow us down the street, singing and dancing. But now because of, you know, Western culture has come and infiltrated. Now it's also hard in Poland to get, you know, the mass of people to dance with us on the street. In the beginning it was like nectar. Me and Prahlada couldn't believe it. The crowds we get, how they dance with us and sing with us. And now because of so much sinful life that's come, it's very difficult. One time, I told this story many times, we were in Paris and having kirtan, and Lord Chananda was leading ecstatic kirtan. One French lady, she came and she stopped in front of the kirtan and she stuck her tongue out. And she put her fingers in her ears. And she stayed for 45 minutes. So then we went back, and Prabhupada was visiting. It was during a visit to Prabhupada. And came back, Prabhupada asked to see the kirtan party in his room. So we came upstairs, and Prabhupada says, "So," he asked me, because I was the kirtan leader, "So, Yajuna, how was the kirtan today?" I said, "Okay, but there was one thing, Prabhupada." He said, "What?" So this one lady, she stood in front of us, and in front of the Gary Lafayette, for 45 minutes with sticking her tongue out. Prabhupada said, "No." I said, and her fingers were in her ears. So Prabhupada said, "What did you do?" I said, "What did I do?" "I didn't do anything." I said, "No, you should have gone. You should have pulled her fingers out of her ears and chanted very loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna." So this is difficult, but that task was delivering the Jagai Madhais. That was the business of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And he demonstrated the tolerance that we need to do that. Tridharapi sunichana, tvarapi shahishana, manina, manidina, kirtaniyachana. One should chant these holy names of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw on the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer respect to everyone else, not expecting any respect for yourself. So that tolerance, what does that mean? Taking a cold shower? Okay. Cutting down on your milk sweets in the morning? Okay. That what really means, the tolerance, is the tolerance of going out and, you know, not being respected, not being glorified, not being even noticed, and despite all of that, having the good heart to share your good fortune with others, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. When will my compassion for all fallen souls manifest? With a lowly heart, with humility, I'll go out to preach the divine command. So when you go out, you have to accept sometimes there's abuse, and to be tolerant. So Bhaktivinoda, he demonstrated that very nicely. I'll talk to that lady, so I'll sit a little bit aside. So Jagai, what was it, Magda, crashed the pot on the head of Lord Nityananda and bloodied him again. And Mahaprabhu was omniscient again. He understood that. He came running with the Sudarshan Chakra to cut off the head of Jagai and Madai. But Lord Nityananda said, "No problem, Lord, it's all right. Don't worry, I don't mind. If you kill them, you're going to have to kill everyone in Kali Yuga, because more or less everyone is like Jagai and Madai. So better you give your mercy as appropriate in this incarnation. You deliver them." So they were scared, so then Mahaprabhu said, "All right, on your request, Lord Nityananda, I will deliver them." So it's by the mercy of Nitai that we're here today. Because Mahaprabhu may have employed his Sudarshan Chakra. And then when they stood up, they were bowing down actually, Lord Chaitanya said, "I'm accepting you on the request of Lord Nityananda. So will you stop all sinful activity? Yes, yes. Will you chant the holy names? Yes. All right, I accept you." He was accepting him as his disciple. So they stood up and he embraced them. When Lord Chaitanya embraced Jagai and Madai, his golden body turned black. Not shine, not bluish black like a monsoon cloud, but black like this camera bag. Because he absorbed the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madai. And he declared, he said, "If anyone ever offends one of my Vaishnavas, I will give him the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madai." So we have to be very careful that in our execution of Krishna consciousness and living in association of loving devotees, that although sometimes there's some friction, it's to be understood, we're not pure yet, there'll be some differences, etc., etc., we should never fall so low as to blaspheme another devotee. Just tolerate and try to make a resolution, but not blaspheme, because then we may get something we don't want. We may get the sinful reactions of Jagai or Madhai. Makes your hair stand on end. That's for the purpose of ecstasy. So Lord Nityananda, he was the ideal preacher in that he went out amongst the masses. As you say in America, he pressed the flesh. When the politicians go out, they press the flesh. We have to feel comfortable out there. We shouldn't go out there thinking, "Oh, we're better than these people." We're not better than those people. We were just a few moments ago, according to cosmic time, a few milliseconds ago, we were out there as well. If we're anything more, we're more fortunate. We're more fortunate. So like Lord Nityananda, who's God himself, who goes out amongst the masses, we have to go out and we have to press the flesh. We have to distribute books. We have to have festivals. We have to have programs. We have to have ideal communities which these people can look to and come to if we want to learn about Krishna consciousness. It's really a missionary movement. We're meant to be with the people, not live apart from the people. If we live apart from the people, it's only for our own sanity, so that we can be peaceful and chant Hare Krishna and get strong to go back into the cities to preach Krishna consciousness, or run a nice gurukul or a farm community, so when people can come, they can have shelter and a nice oasis in the desert of material existence. But Lord Nityananda, that was his... That's the difference between Gaura and Nitai, although they're the same person essentially. Mahaprabhu had to deliver, because if you don't convince the leadership, it becomes very difficult. The head, you have to convince. So the head of society is the politicians, the scientists. That's why Prabhupada said, "Why is no one challenging these rascals?" When he was talking about the scientists. Why not just leave them alone? Because they're the modern day gurus. They're doing all this atheistic propaganda. We have to try to convince them as well. So some devotees are good at that, and some devotees are good at going out and with the master people. You need both. That's sankirtan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did the elite, the scholars, the politicians, the scientists, and Nitai, he went with Haridas Thakur and knocked on doors somewhere in the village. "Yes, would you please worship Krishna, bow down to Krishna, love Krishna, chant his names?" "No." They slammed the door. Nitai opened up. "Well, if you don't, then I'm going to get down on the ground and roll throughout your house and break all your furniture." And he'd get down on the ground, Lord Nityananda, he started rolling around, breaking all the furniture. And Haridasa Kuru was pulling his hair out. How is this possible?
Stop, Nitai, what are you doing? Make them, they better chant.
So the people would start chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And he'd stop. But this type of activity, down to earth, nitty gritty, front line preaching. Of course, sometimes he lost a little bit because he was Balaram and, you know, describing Chaitanya Bhagavat, that he'd knock on the door and some pretty young girls would answer the door, and then Nitai would go in his Balaram Bhav and he'd see them as gopis and start speaking to them very sweetly. Haridasa Kuru was very embarrassed. You can't talk. And Haridasa Kuru would run away and then Nitai had to chase him. So they had these pastimes. But this is the nectar. If God can do it, if it's good enough for God to go out on the streets and preach, it should be good enough for us. We can follow in his footsteps. And actually by going out there, you actually realize you're in the spiritual world. Because when you go out and preach Krishna consciousness, two things happen. You're always reminded about the material world. Dukkalayam Shashatam, it's a temporary place full of so many miseries. You're always reminded, and you can't help seeing that and hearing that, because a lot of times people want to reveal your heart. Today I was at the airport sitting, waiting for my flight. I had a 3-hour layover in Atlanta before I came here. And one of the ladies who, you know, works at the desk there, African-American lady, she kept looking at me. I thought I was in trouble. Maybe I was sitting in the wrong place. So I kind of moved another place, and she kept looking at me. And I moved another place. I thought I was doing something wrong. So she came when she sat down, and she said very seriously, I want to talk to you. I got my passport ready, you know, my boarding pass. She said, what is the goal of life? And I said, excuse me? She said, what is the goal of life? And I said, well, I just, you know, then I called and said, why are you asking me? She said, well, look at the way you're dressed. I thought that was very nice, you know, that this is kind of advertising. Look at the way you're dressed. So I started speaking, and she said, you know, but why orange? She said, why not green or red? I had to think quickly, you know, why orange? I said, because this, I'm a sannyasi, a monk, and this represents the fire of renunciation. That we're meant to burn up our attachments to this world, because you can't be attached to the world and to God at the same time. She said, that's very nice the way you explain that. I never heard it like that. We talked for 1.5 hours. And I had so many things I want to do. It's my downtime. I'm always surrounded by devotees, day and night, 24 hours. When I go to the airport, can you imagine? The airport is heaven on earth for me. Because that day I sit alone and I get to take those little notes I wanted to assemble and make that little extra phone call and read that couple of pages from the book, you know. And that was my downtime. And here's this lady asking me, but at the end I thought, wow, that was ecstatic. And, you know, we should feel comfortable out there because we can see how people are suffering. At the same time, we can see the Gaura Shakti. It's like when I was in the household ashram, I purposely named my son Gaura Shakti. It means the internal energy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You see the internal energy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu working. You see common people getting a glimpse of Krishna consciousness, getting a little taste of the relief that we get by being devotees from material life, and that Padam Drishti Nivartante, that higher taste. Just being with a devotee, you get all of that, and that's very contagious, and people experience it. They experience it. A few months ago, I was traveling through London, and I was in the first class lounge, and I was upgraded to business class. So everything's very prim and proper there, and you know, nobody blows his nose too loud, and nobody moves, you know, it's all very upper class people, and I'm there in my dhoti, and, you know, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, you know, not too loud, but, you know, and then one young Indian girl who was serving there, she was 18 or 19, she was serving there, she came and she sat down to me, she said, I've been waiting my whole life to talk to a Hare Krishna. My mother was brought up, my mother was very strict, and they're Christians, and you know, but I always saw you people on the street, and I could never walk away, and then when I was in school, she was always watching away. Finally, I got this job last week, and here you are, I can't believe it! You have time to speak to me. I said, yeah, I've got 5 hours to my next flight. We spoke for 4.5 hours. So, then, you know, that I was actually late for my flight, so I said, I have to run now. I ran out, and I was going quickly to my gate, and she ran behind me. Maharaj! Maharaj, wait! I need to get your email address! With the whole Air Force listening, right? I was like, so now we're writing to her regularly. And she's had a whole change. She's just blossoming into this wonderful devotee. So you get to see these things. These are miracles. What's a miracle? A miracle means you contradict the laws of nature. What is the law of nature? Stay here. Stay put in the material world. That's Maya's job, to make it so attractive to stay put here. Daivi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the modes of nature, is difficult to overcome. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, even common people are getting delivered. And you get to see that with your own eyes. So it's so enlightening. You see the downtrodden, the miserable condition? You think, I never want to go back to that again. You don't forget. At the same time, you see these people having a change of heart and becoming Krishna conscious. There's nothing more blissful than that. So sankirtan is very, very valuable. And that was demonstrated. If our leaders don't do it, how's the masses going to follow? So if Nitai didn't do it, where would we get the inspiration, the courage to go out there and do just like he did? So Hare Krishna, thank you very much.
Good evening.